just a moment here because of some things that's been going on, but on here lately, I've been struggling quite a bit, and
Lord, you have.
This was some stuff that's been going on in my life, and I was thinking the other night, I was trying to study, I was thinking to myself, Lord, it's so hard on me, you know? You know, I'm trying, I want to be good, that's what I want to do.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. And God, we thank you, Lord, for the good testimonies, the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard and felt in our heart. And God, I pray that tonight you'd help us one more time. Lord, as we look in the text, and God, we try to, Father, just to say what we felt like you laid to our heart. God, I pray that, Lord Jesus, that you'd give us good liberty to preach tonight. And God, I pray that, Lord, that anything that might hinder the service, anything might hinder us, God, we pray against it in the lovely name of Christ. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd every saint that's here tonight, God, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us, God, as we go on to serve you. And, Lord, I pray, God, for every person here that, Lord, that they're lost and undone. God, maybe they've got it in their mind. And, Lord, they understand the words, but, God, they've never trusted you with their soul. Lord, I pray that you'd help them this evening. Father, we ask you now, and above all things, may the blessed Son of God be glorified and be magnified in this place would be our prayer. Lord, we love you and we thank you. I ask you all these favors. Amen and amen. I've been thinking just about this for just a little while, and that's on purpose, not reading the text. I'll end up somewhere in just a minute, but I want to say this. There's a few things in this Bible that God uses something particular, and when it comes down time to when they've happened, he said, I want you to do this or I want you to do that, and to lay it up as a memorial. In other words, he said, this ain't right here. That's something special. It's worth remembering. That's worth not forgetting. Amen. And usually when he'd say that, he'll say it like this. He'll say, I want you to remember it for perpetual generation. I'll remember it from now on. I'll remember it forever. Hey, some things that God's done. And thank God, in other words, we ought not never get over. Y'all agree with that? I got thinking about that. That may be one of the first things you'd find in this Bible. Hey, it's in the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. And I'm just going to read a couple of them. And then I'll get to the text that I feel like that the Lord's laid to my heart. But I want you to see just how powerful this is. And Exodus chapter number 12, the Bible says it like this. In verse number 12, you understand, it says the Passover. And the Bible said in verse 12, he said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. He said, against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And he said, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, he said, I will pass over you. He said, the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. He said, when I smite the land of Egypt, verse 14, he said, and this day shall be a memorial. It shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. And so the first thing we find that the Lord does that with, yes, he does it with the blood. I'd say the blood is so worth remembering. Amen. I want to say this, thank God. If we forget about everything else, that we probably ought not forget about the blood that Christ shed on Calvary's cross. And we ought not forget about, thank God, how it was not spilled, how it wasn't drawn out. But thank God, this is the New Testament. His blood was shed for the remission of sin. And the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews, and without the shedding of blood, thank God, there is no remission. Amen. And so I'd say there's the blood. That's worth remembering. Look in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17 there. That's one of them passages of scripture. That's a pretty good verse number 8. He said, then came Amalek, and he fought with Israel in Rephidim. He said, Moses said to Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. He said, for tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. He said, so Joshua did. As Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Hey, you know the story. I like it anyhow. We'll read it, all right? He said in verse 11, it came to pass when Moses held up his head, and Israel prevailed. And when he let it down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone. They put it under him, set thereon. Aaron Hur stayed up his head. The one on this side, the other one on the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And then watch this, he said. And verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, I write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I literally put out the remembrance of Amalek under heaven. And so we find there's the blood to remember. And then we find that there's a battle. That's worth remembering. I'd say this, thank God. Friend, we learn the pattern for battles. Whenever there's somebody down in one, there ought to be somebody else up on the hillside with their hands lifted up and making intercession for those that are down low. And to look here, thank God. I mean, I can't always be up here. All of us sometimes are down here. But I believe when we're up here, we ought to rally the troop and run from side to side and remind them, thank God, that there's somebody lifting up holy hand. And watch in Joshua chapter 4. And Joshua chapter 4. And we find needs of blood to remember. We find needs of battle to remember. And Joshua chapter 4, one of the best, Joshua 4, one of the best typologies and foreshadowing in all of your Bible. But watch this, verse 6. And Joshua 4, verse 6. He said that time, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their father in time to come, say it, what mean ye by these stones? And then you shall answer them and say that the waters of Jordan
curtain cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones that shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Amen. And so I'd say there's a bridge and worth remembering. Amen. Ain't the time, thank God. And when they couldn't get from where they was out of the desert into the promised land, but right in the middle of that thing, God dried up the Jordan, and there was a land bridge made. And he said, listen, really, there's two piles of stones. If you go study that passage of scripture, and one of them's down in the brook, and down in the Jordan. They took one in, and they put it in the Jordan. And then they took some in the Jordan, and they took them, and they set them out on the other side of the bank. That's a foreshadowing of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. How he went down in the river Jordan. I thank God, but he did not stay there. I tell you what I believe personally. It's the Kevinism. I can't back it up. I just believe it in my heart, all right? But you know what I think, Keith? I think whenever he came out there that day in John 1, and it said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. I believe when they took him down there and they baptized him in the river Jordan, I believe that the chief cornerstone has stood on top of the pile of stones, and thank God they brought him down and they brought him back up. Amen. I believe it was a completion of the foreshadowing in the Old Testament. And I'm going to say this, that's worth remembering. Amen. I mean, of all those things, and I know we ought not get too excited about the blood, thank God. We ought not get too excited, I understand, about God showing us how to battle. And we ought not get too excited about God making a bridge for us to get from where we are to where he is. I mean, that's all right. I wouldn't get too excited about those fights here. I'd just try to remember it, amen. But I want to say this tonight. What about this? I'd go on record time saying just about everything, Chloe, that God's ever done, it's worth remembering, amen. But what about me and you? Have you ever done anything worth remembering? I got thinking about this. And there's just not, John, a lot of places where God says, I want you to remember what that person does. And listen, truth of the matter is, about everything I've done, I'd like to forget it, and probably you would too. Amen. But oh, there's been a few times. And watch what your Bible said. And now listen to me before we turn here. I want everybody to give it real good attention. What God's going to do in this passage is he's going to open up a private situation, Brother Rodney, between somebody trying to worship him and him being worshiped. And thank God, look here, friend. This is intimate. This is between a holy God and somebody that loves him dearly. But watch your Bibles in Mark chapter 14. Here's where I'll bring the text from tonight. If the Lord help me, and I feel like he will, thank God. Here the Bible says this in verse number 1. It said, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover. Looked like that was worth remembering, amen. He said, and of unleavened bread. He said, the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day. As to be an uproar of the people, and being in Bethany and the house of Simon the leper, as he said at me, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and she poured it on his head. And some with indignation within themselves, and said, why was the waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold at more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. And why trouble ye her? And she hath wrought a good work on me. And for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. He said, she done what she could. And she has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burial. But I want you to watch this. Verse number 9. He said, verily I say unto you, and wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, that this also that she hath done shall be spoken of a memorial for her. Amen. And now listen, I want to go on record as saying this. The best I can can tell. There's only a couple things in the scripture that you and I will ever do that's worth remembering. But one of them's to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's worth remembering. Hey, look here, friend. This got to stir in my heart. I thought, oh Lord, I'd like for my worship to be something worth remembering. Amen. I mean, not necessarily for you, but thank God all of it to Him. I'll give you three things out of this text, and then I'll be done. I want you to notice, first of all, in the verse number 3, and when you come down to this place, if you want to have worship worth remembering, thank God, first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to give what you got. Amen. The Bible said in verse 3, being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he said at me, there came a woman having an alabaster box, of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and she poured it on his head. Amen. I say this, thank God. If you're ever going to worship and have something worth remembering, hey, you're going to have to give it all she's got. Amen. I mean, look here, friend. There ain't no holding back. There ain't no waiting for the next time. There ain't no waiting for a more convenient time. That's giving God everything you got right where you stand. I thought about a few things. This lady had an investment. I mean, look here, friend. She didn't offer up something cheap. Amen. I mean, look here, neighbor. I got thinking about this. Here's what the Bible says about it. I've always said this. It was worth 300 pence. But that's not what the Bible says. It says it's worth more than 300 pence. I don't know how much more, thank God. It might have been worth 10,000 pence. But I'll tell you this. She made an investment in her heart. When she showed up, she's going to give God something that cost her something. Amen. And I got to thinking about this. And everybody look up here at me. I want to help us tonight. If the Lord would, can I ask you an honest question? You give an honest response on the inside of your heart. Has your worship ever cost you anything? I mean, have you ever made an investment? And thank God you said, I'm going to store all that up. And thank God when I get to the house of God, I don't care what it is, I'm going to give it to God. Amen. I mean, listen, purposed in our heart. And she left the house and she didn't stop by the 7-Eleven. I didn't run up to the Wally World. And thank God she'd been having this alabaster box and been waiting on the right time and to give it to God. Amen. Oh, listen, Asia, I'll tell you what I found usually. Whenever the only cost of worship, you usually got to look like a fool to about half do it. Amen. And some of them times I got thinking, I was thinking about this, Nathaniel. That time you stood over here and you stood up and you said, now this is going to sound silly. And then you must have said that 32 times. And now I know this is going to sound silly. I don't even want to say this. This is going to sound silly. And then you brought out some earplugs. Amen. You know what that was? He left the house that day and he said, I'm going to worship God. When I get to church tonight, I don't care if everybody in the building thinks I'm a fool. I'm going to do it anyhow. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. And she had an investment. But I want you to notice this. And whenever she got there, she had an intention. And the Bible said at the end of verse 3, as she break the box. I thought about how many times in my life I serve the Lord about like this right here. I know that you know I've got Sunday morning, so I'm going to take some out, but I'm going to leave most of it in here. Because I'm going to have to preach again on Sunday evening. And then Sunday evening, you know, I mean, we might take a little bit more out. But we say, you know, there's going to be a Wednesday night. And then on Wednesday night, we'll say, I'll take a little bit out. But I tell you what I'd really like for it to do. I'd like to wait until the service gets way up high. And then I'll give God every song I got. I'll give God every message I got. I'll raise up my hands. I'll wait till it feels right. But I'm still going to hold a little bit back. But boy, when she got there that night, she just broke that thing and just started dumping her out. Amen. And she didn't have no intention, friend, of leaving the house with any spikenard. And she intended to leave everything she had. And where she was, that's what made her worship and worth remembering. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. I mean, she had an intention. And she said, I believe I'll give God just everything I got. Now, I know about Kevin. You put yourself in there. I mean, I like to give him a little bit. I like to dip it out. Sometimes I like to give a handful. But I can't think of too many times had I ever broke my whole box. I can't think of too many times had I just come in and I said, God, I'll tell you what I'd like for you to do. I'd like
like for you just to empty me, just break me tonight. And whatever you'd like to do in my life for your glory, I'd like for you to do it. But oh, that's what she done that night. And thank God, you know what all the Pharisees said around her. They said, why did you do that? And that looks like a waste to us. And I got bad news, amen. That still looks like a waste, even to most Baptists, amen. I said, I don't know why in the world. I don't know why in the world they'd waste their time going back to the house of God. It's like Cation said, that somebody needs to say it. That church is pretty important, amen. Thank God. I just about ran on that one, amen. I'm saying this, thank God. We come to the house of God. That's worthy of that. That's worthy of the investment. That's worthy of our intention. I want to say this, friend. You understand that her worship right here, it influenced everybody she had. I want y'all to listen to me and pay attention right here. And from this point forward, throughout, he's getting ready. That Passover's over, Nathaniel. He's heading to the cross. And you know what the Bible says? She done that for his burial. And now when she took that, she didn't dab a little here and dab a little there. But that whole thing got poured. It got poured on him. Amen. I tell you what I think, Brother Bobby. And I think I can prove this. And when that precious spikenard, there's a lot of it. It got on his head. And it got to running down through there, Jesse. I'll tell you who's going to come up and just a little bit and betray him. Oh, Judas Iscariot. And he's going to kiss him right here on the cheek. And when he kisses him on the cheek, oh, that precious spikenard ointment, and that aroma, it's going to get on his beard. It's going to get on him. And when he walks away from that, as he walks down through there, knowing he just betrayed him, as somebody else's worship has gotten all over him. Amen. I'll tell you this, when they took him up there, Benny, and they bent him over that post, and they drawed back that cat of nine tails every time they hit him, and that rose of Sharon had let out another fragrant smell. And they went home, them soldiers did, and Brother Kim, and they said, "Are we all smell like spikenard tonight?" And he said, "Did you smell him? He had spikenard all over him." And look here, friend, and you get to really worshiping God, and it'll influence everybody around you, amen. Oh, your enemies and your allies, amen. Oh, but I want to say this, every time they hit him tight, and every time that sweat came down and it hit that spikenard, and thank God that aroma came off, and the Lord Jesus Christ was reminded that there is a woman that just broke everything she had to worship him. If our worship don't help nobody, but it's a blessing to the Savior, it ought to be good enough, amen. I'm saying this, thank God. And the first thing I can tell you is this. If you're going to have worship worth remembering, you're going to have to give it all you got. Amen. I mean, give it all you got. I think when we sing, we ought to let her fly. Don't you think so? I never did like round mouth singing. And I never did like half-hearted singing. I never liked to see people open their mouth. I've seen them yell halfway across the room. But when it comes time to sing Amazing Grace, they open their mouth about a quarter of an inch. And they squeak it out the best they can. I don't think that honors nobody. That don't help the church. It don't honor Christ. That don't bring us to heavenly places. We all look around and say, how do they even believe what they're singing? Amen. Have a boy when they get up there and they get in that glory world and they start opening her up and letting her fly. And for the glory of God, it helps me. I don't care if it helps you or not. Amen. That stirs my heart. Have to get to watch folks worship the Lord. Amen. In sincerity. Let me go on record and say this. Let me park it right here. God's not impressed. Church is not impressed. Nobody else is impressed. Whenever folks try to sing for themselves, have try to preach for themselves, have try to testify for themselves, and there's nobody in this church that's impressed with your voice or your talent or your words. Amen. But boy, when we get up and what we do it as unto the Lord, and we do it for the Lord, and we do it through the Lord. And now all of a sudden, it's getting somewhere, amen. That's when worship happens, thank God. Oh, yes. I'll say this, lady, first thing you can see is when you come to worship, she gave it what she had. But then second thing I want you to notice in verse 6,
Bible says this, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work. I thought not only did she give it what she had, has she wrought what she ought. I thought the Bible said she was alone. You know how most worship's going to happen? That's going to happen alone. Amen. I almost said this earlier. I mean, I was studying it. I was writing down notes and almost said, you're probably not going to find too many times. And whenever there's somebody makes up their mind to worship for somebody else. But then it dawned on me that there is a few times. One of them's in Genesis 22. Whenever Abraham's heading up the mountain. Amen. And he said, I am the lad. I will go yonder and worship. And he said, we shall come again to you. Amen. I'm saying this, thank God. But by and large, when you come to the house of God, you'll have to make up your mind to worship God. I mean, look here, friend. You can worship God alone. Whether anybody else is stirred up or not. Whether they feel anything or not. And whether they love anybody or not. I'm glad this lady walked in. Everybody had the same opportunity. But only one person worshiped the Lord. Amen. Ain't that right? I'd like to be that person, wouldn't you? I mean, listen, I've been praying God give our church more joy than we've ever had in our life. And I'll tell you this, it'll be abundantly clear whenever we start worshiping more than we ever have. Amen. I'm saying this. I thank God this lady gets down there. Her thoughts was right. And now what, this is precious. Now don't miss this. This is a teaching moment in the Bible. But this is what makes this Bible so good to me. And now I don't know that she meant to do this. I know she meant to worship. But you understand that I said at the beginning, it was the blood to remember, and there's a battle to remember, and there was a bridge to remember. And you know what happens right here? What she's worshiping, all three of those things. It's on the Passover day, and his blood's about to be shed. And the Bible goes on and down. And that battle that we talked about, how Moses went up to the top of the hill, and he raised up his hands, and it helped everybody down in the valley. I'll tell you this, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and went up to Mount Calvary and spread out his hands. It helped all of us that was down in the valley. Oh, listen, friend. And he said himself, he said, she hath anointed my body. He said, because it's about to be buried. You know what that is, Holly? That's him building the bridge. You say, how do you know? Because whenever, thank God, I mean, whenever he was crucified, and whenever that was done, and the temple veil was rent in twain, and that means there's a bridge made. And God came out, we came in, we met in the middle. I'm saying this, thank God. And whether she knows it or not, and she is doing what he said to do. Her worship is based on what he said to remember. Amen. Praise God. That's all I can tell you. But that's worth telling. Amen. I think sometimes we ought to. We say, you know, they've heard about that blood for a long time. God didn't tell you to reason about who heard about what.
Right. Exactly.
Did he?
No, sir.
Thank God. He didn't say they've heard about it every year. He said, you remember it throughout generations. And that lady gets in there. She's got the right thoughts. She's got the right things. She's even got the right timing. You know, preaching's not always, it's not always right for preaching. Do y'all know that? Bible says so, says it's in season, it's out of season. There's times, thank God, there's times that the Lord don't want, I mean, there's times I got a burden to preach, and then there's sometimes that God removes that burden to preach. It's not always right for me to preach. I'm going to say this to you. I ain't never found a place in Scripture where it's ever wrong for somebody to worship. Y'all help me if you know of one. Raise your hand, I'll let you talk. I ain't never found a place. I've seen folks worship in fires. I've seen them worship in prisons. I've seen them worship in synagogues. Seen them worship in temples. Seen them worship down the road to Emmaus. I've always found it's pretty good. I'll tell you, in my life, I like to worship whenever you're in the bed. Amen. I found that to be all right. I like to worship whenever I'm out doing stuff. Ain't that a blessing? Yeah. I like to worship when I'm in the shower. Amen. I like to worship whenever I get to work, thank God. Before anybody else gets there, amen, just me and the Lord. Yeah. I'm telling you, boy, that's some good times. I like to worship with everybody else, but I'm going to say this. I really like to worship when it's just me and the Lord. I can shout and I don't have to worry about nobody saying, did you hear what he just said? I get to just shout her out at the top of my lungs. I get to sing without anybody thinking, man, that was out of key, amen. I could just let her fly. You know what? The Lord's never one time told me to stop and restart. Hey, thank God, I'm going to say this. He just likes it when we worship, amen. He said, you've got the poor with you always. He said, but me, you don't always have. It's right timing to worship. I want to give you this last thing. Watch this in the Bible. She gave it what she got. She wrought what she ought in verse 6. And then in verse number 8, I love this. It said in verse 8, she hath done what she could. You know what worship's about? It's about doing what you can. She couldn't carry the cross, but she could anoint the body. Y'all listening to me right there? I mean, she couldn't bear the nails, but she could break her box. And right now, we can't save nobody. Ain't nobody in here got any power to save nobody, but we sure enough can tell about it. There ain't nobody in here can bring conviction on nobody, but we sure enough can. I'll tell you what I found. I found you get around some other folks worshiping, it does a few things for you, amen. And one of the things it does for you, for those that's lost, it brings conviction. For those that's struggling, it brings help. I'm just saying this, thank God. I'm asking you an honest heart. Can you ever put your finger on a time that your worship was worth remembering? This is what the Bible says, and I'm done. I want you to watch it. First thing we find is it's reasonable. And I like what it says. He said it's going to be remembered. Wheresoever, whensoever. But I want you to notice, every time I read Mark chapter 14, and I read about this lady, Julie, you know what does? Her name's not mentioned here, not in this text, because it's not important. You follow me? Who she is doesn't matter. Nope. That's not what's to be remembered.
Nope.
What's to be remembered is what she did. And what she did was worshiping the Lord. They'll not never have to say, you remember when old Benny? They'll say, you remember old what's his name? Whatever his name was. You remember old what's her name? You remember how she'd get in the glory world? And how to help folks? I'm saying that, boy, whenever it comes my time to die, check out this thing. I'd like to have had some worship. It's worth remembering. What about you? What about you? Let's stand to our feet. I've cleared my heart. I'm stopping right there. Listen, you come.